soul begins to relate to what you're feeling when you feel the presence of Him. And you begin, that begins to work on you. And you can't resist it. Some people do resist it. I feel sorry for them because they're so callous over by sin that they can't even feel God enough that they can't, you know, they can't yield over to it. I thank God I was raised as a child in such a way that when God deals with me, I just break. I'm like you, Sister Donna. When I got, man, you get me in church somewhere and the Spirit of God get on me, I'd get all broke up. I'd just go to pieces. I couldn't help it. I just feel terrible if I resisted that. It's just, I just always let it go. Sometimes, you know, I was embarrassed sometimes, but I'd rather be embarrassed than to feel like God tried to touch my life and I wouldn't let Him. Anyway, John saw a new heaven and earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away. In other words, God's going to rearrange things. And there was no more sea. That doesn't mean the ocean out here, the Pacific or the Atlantic or the Baltic or the Caribbean or the Aegean Sea or any of the other seas. That's talking about the sea of humanity. And I could take time to show you, there's scriptures that shows you the sea are peoples. In fact, put it up there for them. 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's get the scripture right quick where it says the waters were peoples, nations, and tongues. Which one? 15th verse, 17th chapter of, yes, the book of Revelations. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now let's back up and show you the picture. Just a minute. I don't know if I want to. Yeah, I guess I got to do it, don't I? First verse, 17:1. Said, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. With whom the kingdoms of this earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of this earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set up on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Here this woman, he gets really rank. You know, I mean, let me tell you something. Don't think if you come to the house of God, you know, that you're not gonna know very much about life. Everything there is in life is in this book. I mean, he gets pretty rank in talking about this woman. I'm gonna call her a harlot. He got stronger than that about it. And he saw her sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. Coming up out of the sea. Well, the sea is peoples, nations, and tongues. Well, in Revelations 21, John said, and there was no more sea. What that means is there is no more ungodly world. God's going to do away with the ungodly. I told you a minute ago, God would already do away with this world if it wasn't for the saved. But God's going to get all His people out of it, save them, and He is going to judge the ungodly and do away with that. He's going to have an eternal family that's righteous. And verse 3 said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He'll dwell with them, and they'll be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So God Himself is going to dwell among us, and that new Jerusalem is coming down as a bride prepared for her husband. And so we'll dwell right here forever. God's going to do away. This will be a heaven. It'll be a new heaven and a new earth when God finally restores the garden condition. I told somebody, I said, you won't need any house. You won't need a house there. If you had a house, you wouldn't need any locks on the doors. There won't be any thieves there. In fact, you won't need any doors. In fact, you don't need a house. The house is just shelter, isn't it? Well, do you all know in the garden it never rained? Rain didn't come on the earth until Noah. But God's going to put everything back the way it was in the garden before this is over. There won't be any mosquitoes or chiggers. There won't be any gnats. Won't be ticks. Won't be any thorns. Ooh-wee. You can just lay down in the grass. If you want to sleep, I don't even know if you have to sleep. I don't know what if you're going to need to rest. But there'll be plenty going on. There'll be plenty to be interested in. I like this life pretty good right now. I just can tell you, I like serving God better than I did serving the world. Did you know it's difficult to get out of the world? I'll admit that to you. Brother Shane, do you notice you're going through a transition? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a transition to get out of the world and get in the family of God and to be able to stay. Be able to stay put. Stay in here. It's hard. It's easier to wind up back in the rut, in the gutter you're in, than it is to make the change because it's difficult. It's difficult for God to change you. I was telling you how I got, God rearranged my life for me, and I finally got in the kingdom of God and stuck. I finally got established. And so let me go back. I've got two or three loose things here. Let me go back to Matthew, the 7th chapter. As I was talking to you about trees over there, and I never did get to it. But I was talking to you about starting out with God and repenting of your sins. Oh, wait a minute. It was 3. We moved back to the 3rd chapter, didn't it? Where John was talking. And I got down to where we're not to say that we're Abraham's seed. We're not to think that God's going to save us just because of who we are or we have a connection. But in verse 10 it said, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." See, he's not talking about literal trees. John didn't come showing that, when Jesus gets here, he's going to come like a lumberjack just looking for fruit trees, and if it ain't a fruit tree, he's going to cut it down. But this is talking about trees, people who are trees that need to bring forth good fruit, bring forth fruit under righteousness. John said fruits under repentance, but we're to be trees that bring forth fruit under righteousness. After we repent of our sins, we're to have a fruit of repentance. We're really to make a commitment. Repentance don't mean "I'm sorry, God," only. It means "I'm sorry, God, and I will quit living the way I'm living if you'll help me. I will turn my life over to you, and I'll serve you. I'll make a commitment to do that." And That is a difficult thing. But God will help you do it. If you'll just hold on to God, you keep coming, you'll finally, it's kind of like a serpent shedding his skin. You ever found a snake's, what do we call it? Snake skin. You ever found one just look, going around seeing the old snake skin laying there? Well, it's kind of like you and I shedding a snake skin. When we got to get rid of that old Adamic nature. We've got to get rid of the old life that we lived in the world, and we've got to shed that off. And we've got to take on the ways of God's people. Be a part of the family of God. Be a part of the saving grace of God that's reaching other people's lives. Now, I was also talking about the mark of the beast. I never did finish that. But I did tell you, tattoos and different ways that man can mark you, that's not the mark of the beast, and it won't separate you from God. But let me show you another mark that we're to have in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations. And the 2nd verse, it said, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. The earth here is those people of God that's in religion, and the sea is the sea ungodly world, the sea of humanity. Saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees. Till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. See, we're to be sealed. We're to get God's name written in our foreheads. If you want to turn to the 14th chapter right quick in the first verse. It said, I looked, John said, I looked, and lo, a lamb. That's Jesus Christ, stood on the Mount Zion, that's the church, and with him 144,000 having his names, his Father's name, written in their forehead. That's not just 144,000 individuals, but it's a symbolic number far greater than that. But he's saying he saw these people, and they had his Father, the Lamb, Jesus, his Father, God, his name was written in their foreheads. What that's talking about is you know what your name is? You know, what do you think about when you think of Fred Stewart? You know, you think of his character. You think about what kind of man he is. You think about an honest man, an upright man, lives right, he's man of his word. That's what a name is. It's really who you are. It's the characteristics that you're made up of. And for God's name, the characteristics, God's character, the righteous things of God, for that to be written in your forehead, it's not talking about wrote over here. You can't get all that wrote in this little space. But it's having it in your mind. To have God, the righteous principles and characteristics of God become a part of your thinking. You become like Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's a transformation God's working on. You have to. That's why you got to get here. You got to get in church. You got to stay in church. It's a process. When you first start coming, you'll struggle trying to be faithful, trying to get here all the time. Let me tell you something. After you've been here a while, you ought to be here faithful, every service. Let me tell you what's the most important thing in your life. It's not your children. It's not your job. It's not your wife or your husband. It's your relationship with God. That's the most important thing in your life. And for you to let things hinder you from doing everything you can to diligently get this name in your mind. And right here's where you're going to get it. It's not only just right here, but right here is this is where God put us in a local church to learn, to meet with God. God deals with us. If there's the Word of God's going to come into your understanding, you're going to get it mostly from a man of God standing behind this pulpit. You'll get it from other men. I'm not just talking about me, but these other men. It comes here in church. And the Spirit of God. This is where God's training ground is. And I'd encourage you. Did y'all know how many of you faithful, or not faithful, but how many of you people that's been coming here a long time, do y'all know that 11 o'clock on Sundays is not when church starts? You know it starts at 10 o'clock downstairs in the dining room. In fact, I would say this, the most important part of every service that we have is right down there that first hour. That teaching of the Word of God is probably the most pertinent thing that you'll ever be a part of. If you really want to get established and get it connected, I'd get to that. I wouldn't be lackadaisical or slumbering in my spirit to just, you know, make it easy on my flesh. Say, well, I got all that. No, you don't feed me that much of baloney. You want something bad enough, you'll get it. I guarantee you. I know men want to go fishing. They'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get out there on the lake before daylight. Men want to go hunting deers. They'll get up at 3 o'clock, go out and climb up in their stand and wait for daylight to get there to try to kill some old deer. Whew. Anyway, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit right there. If I'm stepping on your toes, well, just you can say ouch the last time. I won't say no more today. Maybe. Hopefully. But, look, this is a relationship that you and I are working on. God's called us to the greatest thing, the very heart of what His purpose for creation is for. And He wants us to be. He wants us to be the center of it. He wants to give us everything He's got. By the way, let me just say this. I don't think it is wrong. I'm going to give you some of you guys a little bit of help here. Just because I don't hunt deers, I think it's all right. And I think during deer season, you could even, you know, have an exception. Just a little time of exception where you might get by with. You know, if you're faithful all the other time, I think God gives little exceptions to things. I think God's that way. I used to like killing myself. I've killed several deers. I enjoy it. I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I'm just too tender-hearted. I am. I know them deers have a relationship. They got babies. Them mama deers has got babies. They love them babies. I can't kill one of them mamas and not let it go find its baby. One time I killed an old mama coon. Me and Michael, this about ended coon hunting for me and him. We shot this old mama coon up my tree and she had a whole litter of babies up there with her. And I shot her. And it didn't kill her. And she stood out on the end of that limb. She said, "Wow!" shot her again. She said, "Ah!" You know what she is telling me? "Don't kill me! I got babies up here! Please don't kill me! My babies are dying!" Ah! Oh, God. I told Michael, I said, we've already wounded her. We got to put her out of her misery. He said, "I never will forget. I finally shot her out, and the dogs, you know, got her, and we left that little litter up in the tree. We turned and started walking away, and Michael said, 'I'm through coon hunting, Daddy. I'm done with this.'" I said, "I know. I wanted to tell him I am too, but I didn't, you know." Oh, God. Any of y'all seen that deal on the internet where these guys has this lion? They raise him and then they take him to Africa and turn him loose. I showed that right here, didn't I? I didn't? And after how many years? Several years. They went back and got a guide, and they found that lion. And that lion came out, big old grown lion, just loved on them guys that raised him, and brought his wife out and showed her to him. She let him pet her and everything. I said, "My God, I can't kill no lion." These lions love people. They got love in them. You know, I can't. I'd shoot him, and then there's his wife wondering, where'd he go? I seen that old hunt. Oh, well, I got to get off of that. I'm just telling you, while I can't do that no more. I'm still not having too much trouble with fishing. I don't know why. I just don't see that old fish having too much of a relationship. You know, underwater, I can't figure it all out. I never seen the relationship going on. I never seen Finding Nemo. Don't get me started on that. I don't even know what that means. Anyway, I about lost my sermon, hadn't I? The mark of the beast. It's having false doctrine planted in your mind, believing a bunch of lies. And that's what will cause you to join up with a false religious system that's finally... Let me show you a picture of it. In the end of the Jewish world, when you read in the New Testament, when all these Jews rejected Jesus, which was the Son of God, as the Messiah, and they went on preaching and teaching Judaism, and they rejected the truth of God that was in Christ, and they rejected the New Testament and the very thing God sent to reconcile them back to God. And they deceived people all over the world to not recognize Jesus. And they was planting that ideology in people's minds, and people was taking the mark of the beast. It's called a beast because you and I have beasts. We're like beasts. And if you're not saved and you really don't have God working in your life, you got some beastly ways in your life. Yeah. Now, I probably, you know, if you ask Brother Phil about Sister Jennifer, she probably, you know, I mean, there are probably no tigers there, no lions, no bears. She's probably just a little rabbit, you know, just a little kitten. But if you ask her about Brother Phil, you probably find out there is a tiger there. I'm being easy on her, but she ain't looking up here anymore either. You ever had your lion get loose? You know, if God don't help us, we've got something down inside of us that ain't right, don't we? And this thing's, it's a beastly spirit. God depicts it as a beast. And if you take that false doctrine into your mind, and the way it gets in your forehead it gets in your thinking. Now, the right hand, is that's talking about a ministry. It's a false ministry. Those Judaizers, those Pharisees and Sadducees, they had the mark of the beast in their right hand. They were the right hand of the beast system. They was the false apostles. There was false apostles back there. Even in the new early churches, it fell away. The church at Ephesus knew how to try apostles and find out that they were liars. They weren't true apostles and teachers and pastors and evangelists and prophets. That's a ministry that's not a true ministry. They have the mark in their hand, but they put it in the minds of people. Then I've always said the just to be in the number of the name is just when you don't have their doctrine. See, you can be in the number of the name of Jesus too. Do you know that? This is the name of the Lord. The body of Christ, we bear His name. We don't have any other name. We just say Jesus is the head of the church. But you can just get in the number of this. You're just one of the number here. You can come here and you can call this your church, but you don't know what our teachings are. You really hadn't got in this deep enough to really get it. But if you're in the beast system that way, you're taking the mark of the beast without even really understanding it. You're just going along with the flow. You're just going with the crowd. So, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations, when Jesus judged that system back there, I was going to read this. When He judged that, in the third verse it says, "And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah." That God's people and His ministry saw God judging in the end of this world the systems of man, and eradicating that. And the people of God, when they saw God do that, began to worship and fall down before God and worship Him and say, Hallelujah. Amen. Recognize the God of heaven. So God's working on something here, and He's asking you, no doubt, to be a part of it. I know many of you have said, all right, yes, Lord, I want to be a part of some of you. God's still dealing with. He's still working on. Still saying, I've got a place for you. And so, I must not be preaching a real popular message, because they've got dinner ready early today. Yeah. They got it, you know, it's going to be ready earlier than normal. So I don't know, you know, I don't know about that. Anyway, I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the Spirit of God we felt here today. I hope you felt Him. I hope I said something that would help you or give you some understanding. If you got questions on something I said, well, bring them back to night service, 5 o'clock. Write it down on a note. Send it up here. I thought this was a note going to be a big Bible question, you know. Somebody's going to want me to explain more. It just says dinner will be ready. So, anyway, let's pray before we end the service here today. Let's remember to be prayerful, Brother and Sister Tally, or on their way back from, they may not be on their way back till tomorrow, but Brother Tally's sister in Florida passed away, and they went down there for the funeral. And Let's pray for their protection, also for the comfort of their family. Yes, Sister Rochelle's brother passed away. Let's keep praying for that family. For your sister-in-law. All right. While he's collecting himself there, I wanted to mention, let's keep praying for Brother Durham's father. He just lost Brother Durham's mother, and even Brother Durham needs, it's hard to lose a mother. And let's keep praying for Brother Durham and his comfort and all, and then his dad. Let's remember him.
My brother's wife.
Uh-huh. She's still in a coma?
She's in a coma, and they're going to take the tubes out, and they put her in hospice.
All right.
It's like she's willed herself.
Yeah. So, Brother Weiniger's, it was Johnny Weiniger's wife.
Ruth
Weiniger. They just think that she's grieved herself and willed herself. She's in a coma, and they don't even know what's wrong with her. They can't find nothing wrong with her. But anyway, so let's remember her and pray for her. Sister Fisher, you had a... Uh-huh. Sister Wilkins needs her prayers, and also the Dodsons on their way back from the funeral. Missouri. All right. Brother Ray's got a tumor and in his colon. But he's got heart problems. They don't want to do surgery on him unless his heart's okay, and he's failing his stress tests, and they did a second stress test. Is that right? And don't know the results of that, so he needs our prayers, Brother Ray Valdez, so let's remember that. Sister. Yeah, Aunt Susie. She wants to trust the Lord, but she's... well, God can use doctors, and He can use the medical technology. Let's pray, though. Let's be prayerful that God would touch her. She's up in her years, and I don't think you necessarily have to die with a disease. I think you can just die of old age. God's able to heal you. Let's keep praying. Let's keep asking God. See, Brother Shane's mother's coming. Let's pray for her safe trip. She's coming this week, isn't she? And so be prayer for her. This will be, she's a Holy Ghost woman, but of course this will be new to her. So be careful with her. Uh-huh. All right, Sister Della Rosa's here in town. Let's remember her. Sick. What else? Anything else? Sister Abraham. All right. I was just fixing to ask that. I don't know where the... Okay. All right. So keep praying for the Gaylors, because they definitely are trying to get situated and settled here. And of course, they don't have anything. They lost their home, burned, and they lost all they own. And so it's difficult for him. He's still on the road. Pray also God will help him find a local job. He can't stay on the over the road driving and really get established in God's kingdom too. Sister Jennifer Fisher. Crystal and Josh. All right, let's remember that need. All right, you want us to just stand and ask God if the, have the ushers come for the to receive the tithes and offerings. Today's dinner day, so we want to invite everyone to stay and eat and then be back in service tonight, 5 o'clock, and see what the Lord has. Also, we had 11 of the youth with brother and sister, brother Andrew and sister Brittany, and then brother and sister Stewart also went to brother Harrington's last night in Batesville. And I've got a good report on a good service there. So I was thankful that our church was able to fellowship with them, be with them. So, Sister Smith. Yes, my mother's been really sick for about a week. In fact, she hadn't had very many bouts that lasted this long, but she's weak, so remember her in prayer also. Precious Lord, God, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Oh, Lamb of God, help us, Lord, with our needs, so many needs, Lord, of those that have lost loved ones, those that are sick in their bodies, and those that can't be here for various reasons, Lord. Oh, God, would you reach in and touch these needs in our lives and those that we're connected with. Touch every heart, every life here, God, all the needs that we may not have mentioned, but I know that we all have them, Lord. We're leaning on you, looking to you for your assistance and help in all of our needs of life, Lord. Touch hearts and lives. God, continue to save and help us. And help us to be established in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, bless the food and our fellowship downstairs. Bless this offering and the tithes that are being given today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right. God bless your hearts.
There.